But I've experienced something recently, and it's, I'm experiencing, this is in all these years in the ministry. Our church started in 1980. A few years into that, I was not even a few years probably, I was an elder. And so then I inherited the church in three years after that. So all this time since then, I've got a whole group of you that weren't even born yet probably, whatever, or just barely. But I've come to this place where I am beginning to feel successful. Now, there's a couple of you can appreciate that. I'm feeling that in the ministry. And it's not because we've hit a certain number. A lot of times our attendance is off, and all of you are running all over the world and, you know, those kind of things. But it's not about attendance. It's not about things that you would mark as, hey, we're successful. But there are other things. I'm feeling successful because we're tapping into the Spirit. There's hunger among you for the Lord. None of us say, I've made it, so that's not what success is. And even Paul says that, not that I've attained, but I have a glimpse and I'm pressing in. But if everything from the outreach ministry to the prayer times to the interaction and the relationships that are growing, and I'm feeling a success in the ministry because I feel God's with us. And I feel this hope and this joy. And the other things are actually externals from this. And I believe it's so. I'm just going off here for a moment, and then I'm going to pull up. But this is the element. And it's the element that all of you need to, it needs to just come into you. Because from that place then, in Christ, we are successful and then we are prosperous. And you'll never attain to certain criteria, so give it up. It's not about hitting certain marks. It's about this transition in your heart where connection begins and a transformation has taken place deep in your heart and your spirit, that you are His and He is yours. That's success. That you're walking with Him, that you're a son. That you're a daughter. Not about achievement. It's not about age. It's not about your PR. It's not about your popularity. It's about this posture and this position where you're just really settled. I'm His. He's mine. And I'm His. And He is mine. So I just would encourage you, join me in that. I just feel good in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8. I want to just tear into this. It's some good stuff. A little bit heavy for this day, whatever, maybe not. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to quote a man recently found. I really have not known of him much until recently. James Maloney's written some real materials. He's a real theologian. But again, I'm not impressed with theologians only. They've got to have passion, and they've got to be tuned into the Spirit, or I really have little use for it. And I say that in all reverence. The heart of God is passionate. When people are going to represent God, I need them to have that passion when they're talking to me, writing to me, preaching to me. I need to know they've got more life than death. That they're more out of this, out of the heart and the wellsprings of their being rather than the head. I grew up in the head knowledge of the gospel, and it took me, you know, not until that long ago. To come into, you know, you feel that sometimes. I've been in transition, though, to come into this passion and this life. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11. Sometimes I'm lacking in Scripture, and then today I'm going to probably drown you in a little bit, but take a big breath. Here we go. 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy. Does this sound like last week's message? You know, the kings rise and fall, and the Lord in heaven sits in Psalms 2, and he laughs at all of our fussing and worrying. And, you know, as for me, I've installed my king. That's where I encourage you positionally, politically to be. As for you, as for me, I've installed my king. So it doesn't matter who the president of our nation is. Doesn't matter what the kings and the rulers of the whole world and princes are doing. As for me, I've installed my king. That's where my vote is. That's where my trust is. And that's where my confidence is. So whatever comes and goes in between then, Mike, I'll go, I might make some responses. I'm not going to have my head in the sand, but my trust is going to be rooted. And this is the call. Ground and root your trust in the Lord. It's a mandate. I don't know how else to put it. Don't do that. You'll get eaten up. You'll be tormented. You'll be full of fear. Our whole culture is, the whole world has fear. Fear is escalating, and fear is powerful for the enemy. That kind of fear. Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And it goes on with some instruction and word to Israel. This concept of fearing the Lord, it's something I sit and meditate on it, and it'll probably take me the rest of my life and some, you know, on into the reign of Jesus to fully comprehend and grasp the significance, because God is good. And too long we presented a God that you were scared to death of, and that was a negative thing. But the fear of the Lord has to do, and I don't have it. I'm just going after this. I'm intrigued. And I'll go after it till I really grasp it. But you hallow him, and you fear, if you're going to fear him, because you see who he is, you know who God is, you know the power, the ability, the awesomeness, and he's the one with the last line. He's the one that signs the check. He's the one that finishes the deal. Nothing really happens on the planet. This is maybe it might take some faith for you to even grasp that. Nothing really happens on the planet that he doesn't oversee, doesn't release. Well, that statement right there can put you a little upside down, but hang on. You have no choice but to acknowledge God is powerful. Satan is not. God created all things. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's hidden up in a basement with some old equipment, and he's boom, 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 you know, printing up counterfeit bills. Truth comes from heaven. Lies come from wherever his realm is. There's a picture. Have you ever gotten on YouTube? We can access that on our Apple TV, and sometimes we'll look at various things on YouTube just for entertainment, you know. And different things will come up, and searches will come up, and all of a sudden there's, you know, world's largest pit bull. I mean, you got to look. How do you not go there? Even if you don't like pit bulls, you got to look. And I was tempted to throw it up on the screen, but I don't want to leave you with a visual. A 175-pound pit bull. And there's a man and his wife that they train pit bulls, and they said, our clientele is from all over the world. I'm like, oh, I bet it is. And this one pit bull, the largest, 175 pounds, his name is Hulk. Now, it's one thing to grow big animals, big ferocious things. But here's what they say. These are professional trainers. It is all about how you train this dog. That's what it's all about. Now, this thing's massive. And if someone's going to be in trouble, I want to be standing with the dog, not on the other side of the dog, you know? And they have a child, like a two-year-old. It's climbing around on the dog. They set it on the dog. The dog has one of those collars that has a little handle on the back, and they let the little boy ride the pit bull. Any of you mothers game want to get a big pit bull and let your children? Anyways, the head of this thing is just mammoth, and its name's Hulk, and you're like, whoa, you know? And there's the woman, there's a man and wife and their child, but the wife is also a trainer, and it's sitting on the scales. They have a scales in their home, and she's sitting beside it. She looks like a 10-year-old girl beside this dog. Its head so massive. And then there's a video of her feeding it. She's holding a, you know, doggy treat way up here. I mean, even my little Bailey has trouble controlling himself when he's, you know, when you've got a treat and he's hungry and the cat's around, like, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, I have to watch my fingers, you know. He doesn't see so good anymore, so sometimes it's hard to distinguish between my finger and that, you know, treat. She's holding his treat, and the dog stands up on her, and it's as tall as this woman is, this massive thing. And you're thinking, honey, it's going to bite your face off, like one gulp, you know, that kind of thing. The dog is awesome, and if you want to be a friend of the dog, is my point. If you're in a situation and that dog's in the room, you want to be his friend. And all pit bull owners, they'll all say this: we love our dog. It's the best dog we've ever had, right? Don't they? Now, the rest of society is struggling with the issue. Some days, me included. But the owners and the families are always, they're like, almost always, they're like, we love our dog and our kids are good. You know, everybody that's on the inner circle is totally safe. Robert comes through, you know, someone comes into the house with a 44 Magnum. It's going to take, you know, I'm thinking it's going to take one of those ballistic missile rocket launchers to take this thing out. A regular gun is probably not going to stop it. Where do you want to be? With the dog. I want to be the friendlies in the situation. That's what the fear of the Lord is like. He is terrible. He is awesome in power. He has the final word. We're foolish when we fear anything but him. Fear this. Fear him and him only. And then as you draw near to him, you'll find he's the protection. He's the protector. He keeps you. He keeps you safe. When you're with him, everything else is the other. You're with him. And that passage starts out with, the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand. The might and power are made alive to them, and the imprint of his person can be felt, seen, and heard. James Maloney, he quotes that. Turn now to Psalms 107. We're going to continue on this frame. I hope it just leaves you today with an impression. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And back in reference to Isaiah, he spoke with a strong hand. So it's as if with the Lord, he speaks our name. He says, Chris, but out comes this strong hand that touches. He speaks your name, but a strong hand comes to you. Good to have you back, Sean. He speaks with his mouth, but a strong arm, a hand comes, a touch. That's good. I like that. So here we are in Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and he healed them. And then James Maloney, in his studies, he writes this: we are talking about a vocal, tangible, heavy touch from Almighty God. Now, I like teachers. They did get out of the mentals of teaching Scripture and get into the reality of Scripture, the aliveness of a Scripture, of a passage, of a word from the Lord, the reality of it, the tangible reality. Religion robs us from power. I don't want to be robbed. I want to have the real thing, the whole thing, shapened up. We always, one of the teachers from years ago in Phyllis and I's history, C.J. Mahaney, would say, you know, here, or Larry Tomczak, whichever one. They take some grain, they strip it, they bleach it, they take everything out of it, they add a few things back and call it enriched. It's like you take a man, strip him down naked, give him his belt and his shoes, and call him enriched. I'm not feeling it. And that's what we've done with the Word of God, and that's what we've done with the person of God. We tame it down and trim it down. We strip it down. We come back with our wisdom and our knowledge, and then we say, here's God. It's like, he's powerless. He's religious. We have to keep rules. We have to satisfy him with more sacrifice and more stuff, and that's not him. He said, it is the brush with his might that enables us to withstand any attack, to successfully oppose the enemy that wars against us. This is James Maloney's interpretation as he's studying these scriptures. Let me read that again for you. This is, and again, I think I said this a week or two ago, disregard your experience for a second. Just set it over here. And listen with fresh ears. His mighty, it's like the brush with his might, like the brush, his might, brushing you, that enables us to withstand any attack, to successfully oppose the enemy that wars against us. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to really focus in today on be strong and the power. And this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection power. That is the greatest power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Power over death. That's nuclear. That's the summit. In our technology, we do what we have. We have a lot of technology to keep a body living, don't we? We shock it, we drug it, we do different things, everything we can to keep bodies living, our human bodies living as long as possible. But Jesus, dead for 3 days, in a tomb behind the big rock. Power of the Father comes down and resurrection life raises him from the dead. Now, let Pastor catch up with you. Ephesians 6, and in verse 10, this classic scripture. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I just thank the Lord. I'm feeling the anointing today. That's nice. I love it when I feel it. It's difficult when I don't, you know. It's good. Be strong. Finally, remember, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This word be strong is endynamu, Greek. We don't need to know that, but that's what it is. And here's the definition. A power whose purpose is to infuse a believer with an excessive dose of inward strength. I'll take it. That's resurrection. That's the power that is to be the word we're to have and carry. Again, just push your experience off to the next chair. Hopefully it's empty and not a person in it. Don't put that on another person. That discouragement, that unbelief, that all of those, the deflated hearts that we have sometimes because we've contended so long for something and you've just plain gotten discouraged. Just set that off for a second. Believe again, because we've got to contend for this and break into this, because this is what's ours. And the experience that is powerless is not what's our inheritance. It may be what you're experiencing, but that's not the inheritance. It's not what's in the checkbook, folks. You may think you're broke, but there's money in there. When you write with the right pen, you can access it. When you write with a pen of faith out of your account, there's supply there that may not even appear. Well, I know all of you are going to go home. My balance says I'm zero, but you know, Rick said, you know, I can draw on this. It's in there. I just can't see it. If only. A power whose purpose is to infuse a believer with an excessive dose of inward strength. Man, don't you like just talking like that? I've been contending with this cough and this whatever. We're, you know, who knows what, 4 months now. And Dwayne, again, he says, we're contending for you and we're praying for you. He prayed again over me. I just grabbed his hand like, yes, yes. He's like, this doesn't have a right to be there. I'm like, I agree. It doesn't. This doesn't have a right. Our next, you know, we're back to, what was the little guy, the video game, Luigi that you got, some of the kids played, you're not kidding. Mario. And Luigi. The brothers. The brothers. And now I think there's some upgrades to that game, and most of them are still the same concept. Another level, another devil, you know. Why do you keep playing those silly games, those of you game players? What's the point? To get to the... Go ahead, say it. The next level. And you keep getting killed right at the end of level 3, and you're like, why do you keep every moment you've got once you get addicted to this? Thank God I never went there, because I could go there. But I never got a taste of the bug, and thank you, Jesus, that I didn't. Why do you keep returning when you get a chance? Your wife's yelling, honey, get off the phone. Stop playing games. Pay attention. Because you're trying to get to level 4. And it's not okay to get there. What happens when you conquer level 4? Got to get to 5. This is another level. The breakthrough of faith. We're doing great. We have success, and a success and prosperity is in our house. It's in our midst. I declare it. It is here. With that, let's conquer this level once and for all and get to the next. I'm tired of getting killed right at the end of it. Let's boom, bam, into the next one. Dance around the kitchen, woo, 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 you know, and then, you know, then it won't be long. We'll be like, time to go to the next level. Yeah, I know. We keep getting killed at the end. Whatever. It's all right. Until he comes, pressing through. James Maloney goes on to say, it conveys the thought of an explosive power. The root is dynamis, where we get our word dynamite, that is deposited into some type of specially prepared container, vessel, or receptacle. That's you. You are a vessel, a container that is being formed and forged. Now, this is my favorite quote from him in this book. It was a book called Lord in the Fires, and I'm going to go to the scripture in a second here. James Maloney, excuse me, he writes this, we have to forge, and here's what we have to forge. We have to forge an expectation. Now, you can't make it happen, but I'll tell you one thing I know all of you are. You're dreamers. If you're not dreamers or dreaming or have an ability to dream, then you need healed, because you're supposed to be. God gave to every one of us a measure of faith, and all you need's a measure. It's the opposite of a virus that only takes a bit to contaminate you. We all have a measure of faith. And we all have the ability to dream. We need to, in this place, forge an expectation. The enemy hates that. Don't you dare dream. Don't you dare think there's a way out of this situation. Don't you dare think there's a new day for you and yours. Don't you dare. Press you back, press you back, press you back. We have to forge an expectation. Okay, I can dream. I got to set all the junk, push the junk aside. Sometimes it's just to have a moment. And have you ever, I'm going to get off the track just for a second. But on this point, sometimes just driving out of your area, region into another region, all of a sudden you go, oh, I can dream. I can dream about making money and have prospering and da-da-da. And you come back home and you go, whoo. Now, for a long time in this area, we contended. That's how we talk up here, Juanita. They say it's because we're close to Pittsburgh. We've contended to break that spirit of poverty. And we've had great success in that. We built this building in the face of the spirit of poverty. The Lord provided it, of course, but we still had to keep showing up every day, and I did that. Weak, frail, bedraggled, beat up, whatever. I kept showing up. Still remember the moment. I'm sitting right here in this spot in my pickup truck saying, if that, then why not this? Just believe it. Hope against hope. Total impossibility. Like, we couldn't jump off the lily pad. Like, it was hard. I'm watching everybody else jump. I'm like, we can't even, don't have enough faith to jump off this thing. But I had a dream. I had a little tinge of hope and faith and belief. And of course, I wasn't alone in that. We did as a body. To see this kind of power manifested for it seeks an avenue of release to demonstrate itself, to make God known and real to the world. And it is for this that we are with. And this is Isaiah. Don't turn there because it's, unless you have a King James version. And James Maloney said he likes that version in some of the scriptures that he reads just because of the wording. And in this passage in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 15, it says, I wrote it out, therefore glorify the Lord in the fires. Now, my new King James says, the Lord of the dawn. Like, that kind of makes more sense. But James got a revelation when he was writing and studying this, that there's this place of coming in the presence of the Lord of the fires. Like, in that, it's a place of presence. It's a place of power. When we come and we're in the place of presence, the place of power, you're in worship. You're giving every time in all the many ways you access this. This is the key and so valuable and so powerful. This is what transforms us. This is what changes us. And the more time we spend in the presence of the Lord of the fires, in that fire, that presence, and he develops that in the book, which I highly recommend. We take our expectation and we take it there. And in there, things are made manifest and we get to experience. We can tap in and see more this power. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 now. So we're backing up. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Of course, this is a real powerful prayer scripture we use a lot, have used a lot through the years. the verses preceding, Lord may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, et cetera, et cetera. We get to verse 19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So this resurrection of Christ, this tremendous event, which our whole faith, you know, revolves around, that we're not serving a dead God, but we're serving one, we're living for one, we're being loved by one that rose from the dead. He conquered death. I choose that God. I choose him. That one, the word power is Kratos, K-R-A-O-T-O-S. This is, again, out of the book. I don't do this stuff. An eruptive, explosive, tangible demonstration of dominion. Woof! Let me read it again. That Kratos, when it says the exceeding greatness of his power, and the power is towards you. It's not just up there in heaven. It's towards us. Feel that, the spoken word that comes at you with a strong hand and grasps you. The word that reaches out and tangibly touches you. That's what the word of the Lord is like. That's to be our normal experience. The word of the Lord is a hand, a strong hand coming. An eruptive, explosive, tangible demonstration of dominion. It is an external, outward manifestation of demonstrated power that can be seen, heard, and felt. Amen. Let us cast off our dullness. Let us cast off our fear. Let us cast off whatever spirit of stupor may be on us that we cannot hear, that we cannot perceive, and realize I can hear, I can feel, I can be touched by this power that is transforming. It is real power. It is real power. That is the word of the Lord. That is the truth. It is real power. God intends for this to be extended to every one of us. Every one of us. The seed of faith is in us. I don't know. I don't have all the answers to what it's going to take to activate that, but I know this. It's actually in you. Confess Jesus. If you know Jesus, that is in you. Believe that it can. Boom. I don't know about you. I'm thinking I'd be a totally different person. I would be changed. I would be transformed. I would be a new creature. If any man's in Christ. We've been robbed. Struggle with unbelief, even in our believing. But whatever the stuff, it doesn't matter. Let's not focus on that. Just let me whet your ears, your appetite, your hearing to realize anything's possible. Nurture, culture your, cultivate rather your faith to believe, to dream. Just dream about it. Set aside the word faith. Maybe you stumble over it. Just lay it back on your bed and dream a little bit. Would you do that? Can you do that? Yeah, we can imagine things. We do all the time. I'm dreaming I won $1 million. I'm dreaming that in the middle of this last winter, I was on the beach someplace warm and sunny. I'm dreaming I'm not here, I'm there, you know. We dream. We know how to do that. Use that to dream about power, the explosive power, the resurrection power in you being released. Boom. Old things passed away. Old strongholds passed away. I'm ready for some old strongholds to be long gone. I'm tired of running up against this brick of this wall. I have a want to, and then boom. Worst feeling in the world to run into a sliding glass door that's so squeaky clean you don't know it's there. Or a screen. I still don't have that figured out. How is it we walk right into to screen? They can even be black and we still can't see them. If your reflexes are close, quick enough, you can keep from busting through it. But if not, you know. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read through verses 1 through 11, and I want you to really listen with your ears. The thing is, I just know it speaks to several things. Again, familiar passage, but for some of you, this is going to speak to different things. And this is what the scripture is for reproof, for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil, beware evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes on in a moment. He's going to define this. He says, I also might have confidence in the flesh. And what does that mean? He describes it. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, I was up on top, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I was blameless in the law. I was as zealous and zealous as you could be. I was persecuting the church, I was so zealous. I was right up here. I hit all the marks. I could boast in the flesh of what I am, what my credentials were, and what I passed, and what I knew, and what I understood, and all the you know marks I checked off. I'm this, I'm that, I keep this, I keep that. He takes all that and he comes to this conclusion in verse 7, and he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's our word for the day, that you may know the power of his resurrection, that you may know that your testimony, like, hey, what's happening? What's happening with you? What's happening? I've been experiencing the power of the resurrection. That's what's happening. I've been experiencing stuff happening. Things are going down. I'm powerful. What I believe changes the world. Back to our children, you know. Things are different. I was sick, but I'm well. I was depressed, but I'm not. I was downtrodden and lost and aimless. But now I'm focused. Now I have destiny, I have purpose. I'm hearing a voice that's leading me. I'm full of life and not judgment. I'm forgiving and not cursing. I'm different. I'm different. I am different. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So my ultimate goal is to have, you know, absolute resurrection power, even from the dead. That's like, that's my I Ching. He goes on the next verse. He says, I don't claim that I've gotten there yet. This is Paul. Well, Paul, if you weren't, I'm definitely not going to walk around saying, you know, I've gotten beyond where you are. But he says in the verses following, but I contend for this. I press on towards that mark. That's my goal. I set the mark up here to get to this, and that's the goal, and I keep my eyes fixed on that. And then I don't become content with the failures and the discouragements. I don't become content with the God didn't. But I contend for the God can. And he has. And if he has, then I can. He can enable me. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, to be conformed to his death, to attain resurrection. Resurrection. So I release that to you. I release that to our body. In Jesus' name. Resurrection power. Jesus, today on this day, we thank you. We thank you for resurrection power. We thank you for what we celebrate historically, but you never intended it to just be a historical fact. It is your heart. It is your heart for us to experience resurrection power. It is your heart for this to be ours. It's your heart for us to experience that power, that might in our lives, in our daily lives, and especially in the areas of our life that are confronting us and that seem unmovable. Those rocks in our life that we can't move, we can't get out. Those blockades that we can't seem to get around. Everyone else seems to get around it. I can't get around it. Everything that presents itself against the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the truth. So, Father, release today by your word resurrection power in our body, in our lives. And this time, at the end of level 3, we intend on bumping up, pressing through this. So release, in Jesus' name, may there be healings released that we couldn't get to, breakthroughs released that we couldn't get to, hope restored that we couldn't get back, vision that we've been blinded in. A new day, I ask resurrection power be released right in our lives as we carry the seed. We carry the seed of an indestructible seed. An indestructible life is in us, Jesus. Release that. Release that in Jesus' name. We release that. We release that. Release that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Stir up hope. Stir up vision. Just release your dreams, your ability to dream today. Release all of that. Release all of that to you.